From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Families in the Gulf region, New Orleans and Biloxi, Mississippi, among other places, are still reeling from Hurricane Katrina. Now the Federal Emergency Management Authority, or FEMA, has announced a plan that could profoundly affect some of those families. FEMA says it's closing all the Katrina-related trailer park group sites by the end of next May. And since August, FEMA has already emptied more than 800 of those trailers. At this point, over 3,000 families are living in these trailer park camps. We'll talk to a representative from FEMA's Gulf Coast Recovery Office in just a moment. But first, New Orleans native Vicki Thomas knows what it's like to get evicted from one of those parks. She was living in Colorado when she got the news that Hurricane Katrina hit her hometown. She quit her job and moved back to help her mother in June of 2006. Her house was destroyed by the hurricane. Both of them lived for about a year and a half in a FEMA trailer together, and then Vicki came home one day to find a piece of paper tacked to their door in August that said both of them had 60 days to leave. She's with me now. Vicki, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
So tell me about what happened. What park did you live in? How long did you live there? How responsive was the government to your needs?
We were living in the Perry Rome Park off of Elysian Fields on Turo and Abundance. At first it seemed that everything that we needed was coming our way. I mean, you know, my mother came when she had to report back to work after Katrina. When she came back to the city, she was part of the group that was living, they were living on the cruise ships down at the Riverwalk when the cruise ships had to pull off because they needed to get their boats, you know, repaired and fixed up and ready for their cruise season. She went into the trailer at Perry Rome Park. At that point, you know, she had everything that she needed. We looked like everything was going to happen. I decided to, you know, I had come back to help gut her home. And at that point, you know, she decided she wanted to stay and rebuild. And so I decided that, okay, I needed to come back.
Now, Vicki, were you shocked, surprised, not surprised when you got the notice saying get out?
I was shocked. We had there were supposed to be inspections. We were told, and what my mother was told when she first got the trailer was every 3 months there would be an inspection. Someone would come in, and we would, you know, they would inspect the trailer, make sure everything was going okay. We had one person come in to do the inspection, and this was when I had been living with them. And at that point, we were told by that person that we would, you know, they asked where we were at as far as the house is concerned, and, you know, we told them we're at least a year away from the house being done. We're still waiting. At that time, we were still waiting on Road Home. We hadn't even gone to the closing for Road Home money yet. And this was in February after I had come back. This was the February after I had come back, and we had put in our application in August of 06 for Road Home when it first came open. So we still hadn't even gone to our closing and heard from Road Home yet. We were told that they were going to extend it out, and it was even announced on the news, and I forgot what news station we heard it on, that they were extending out the deadline. I believe it was until August of 09. They figured that that would be more than enough time for everybody to do what they're going to do. So we were under the impression, okay, great, we're going to be fine. We're not going to get kicked out of this trailer park. We're, you know, the next move we do from this trailer will be into the house. So we finally got, you know, fast forward to June, when we finally get our Road Home money, we then have to go through the process of finding a contractor. We get the work rolling on the house. You know, there's always obstacles dealing with construction on the house. Where he's starting to hear rumors through news and through other people that stuff is going on with the trailer parks. But we're, you know, we ask the guards every day, you guys haven't heard anything? No, we haven't. We're fine. Okay, we're good. We're going to proceed with our normal daily life. Then one day we return home and there's a note on the door. No one bothered to come around and survey the park to see where we were at, to see what was going on with our park, to say we were where we were in the process of everything.
Well, Vicki,
you know, we got a note saying that in 2 months the park is going to close. There was a number to call for rental assistance. When we called the number, we were told, well, you still have to come up with first and last month's rent, and you still have to pay a percentage of your rent.
Vicki, we only have time for one last little bit of your story. When you think about what you guys have done, you've hustled, you've made things happen, you see a little light at the end of the tunnel in terms of moving into the house, and you made some, it sounds like, some very strategic decisions. Did you see the other people around you able to make those kind of strategic decisions so that?
Yes. Everybody, we all talked with each other. Everybody's in the same boat, you know, pretty much and particularly in our park, a lot of people, their homes were being worked on or their homes were almost done. You know, the thing that frustrates us is that nobody came to talk to us. People think that we're living in these trailers for free. Yes, we're not having to pay FEMA, but all of us who have mortgages on our homes, we've still had to pay on mortgages all of this time since Katrina. The mortgage company didn't give us a leniency on paying that. So when you're having to pay a mortgage and your insurance on a house that you can't live in, and then someone tells you, oh, by the way, you still have to come up with first and last month's rent and pay a portion of your rent, where is that money going to come from? You know, plus the cost of having to get everything together to get the houses done. You know,
well, Vicky,
it's frustrating because it feels like they want us to come back, they want us to rebuild, we get ahead 2 steps, and then we're pushed back 20. And it's frustrating.
Vicky, we really thank you for sharing your story and glad you're going to be able to move back into your house.
Thank you so much.
All right, you take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Vicky Thomas, along with her mother, lived in the Perry Rome Trailer Park until late October of this year. And for more now, we've got Michelle McQueeney. She's chief of staff for FEMA's Gulf Coast Recovery Office. Michelle, thanks for coming on.
Hi, Farai. Thanks for having us.
So we just heard Vicky Thomas talk about her experience living in a FEMA trailer park. It sounds as if she's extremely frustrated with the process, not necessarily the facts of what FEMA has been trying to do, but more the process of how FEMA has done it. How do you relate to her story?
Sure. And first of all, thanks for having us. And one of the things I'd like to do is follow up with your producers offline to get us the current contact information for Mrs. Thomas and her mother. We did have some trouble contacting them towards the end of the closure of their particular park, and so I do want to have our staff follow up with them. But I do want to spend a little time talking with you about what we are doing and what we're not doing. And to be clear, we're not evicting people from trailer parks. After the storm, FEMA had to construct group site parks and other emergency trailer site parks to accommodate all of the families and households who were displaced. There was an extreme shortage of rental resources and other housing. So we built these trailer parks as an emergency housing measure. Since that time, we've continued to work throughout that time period to move people into rental resources or other resources as they become available, because it's a better solution for them. No one wants to see anyone living in a trailer with their family and small children or teenagers 2 years after the disaster. What we're trying to do now is be completely transparent about the closure of those group site parks. While we've extended the program, and we will provide temporary housing assistance to all eligible disaster victims through March 2009, Mrs. Thomas is right, we did extend the program. Our goal is to close down the group site parks by the end of next May. We've made it through 2 hurricane seasons down here in the Gulf without an event, but we do not want to have group site parks still open and have folks living in those parks through another hurricane season.
So,
let
me just ask you, mm-hmm. When you have a deadline like May, some people may argue, you know what, it's been a couple years. May will put us at, you know, the 2.5 mark. That's not unreasonable. How do you balance the need to move people along with what you're talking about in terms of dealing with people who may have had their lives totally shattered?
Sure. And what we're doing is we've closed a great number of parks already since the storm. As people move out and they do get their repair money to rebuild their homes, they find other apartments or they make other choices for where they want to go. So a lot of our parks have closed just the natural progression. We do still have several parks open and about 3,000 families living in those group site parks in Louisiana. What we're doing is closing those parks based on when our leases are expiring and some property owners want their land back. Some local ordinances which are forcing us to remove the trailers from that area, and then also just trying to consolidate down the numbers, but really to help people move into rental resources and apartments, or we have an alternative housing pilot program that's coming online, and we're trying to help people move into a better solution. What we do when we are working to close a park is we put notices on the doors at least 60 days before the park is scheduled to close, giving them the name and the phone number for their caseworker so that we can have someone assigned to their family to help them work to find an apartment or other resources that works for their family and their family composition and hopefully close to their children's schools and jobs, et cetera. About 30 days out, we have caseworkers working to contact and meet with each individual family. And we will pay up beyond fair market rent at this point in Louisiana, up to 150%. So we'll pay over the rent. We'll pay the full rent. Some people have trouble paying for utility deposits and others, and we work with voluntary agencies to help get them the resources they need for their particular family and situation.
Well, Michelle, we're going to have to end it there, but I want you to know that we're going to post resources on our website, NPR News and Notes, so that people can find out more about this. Thank you for coming on.
Great. Thank you. And we'll follow up with your producer to get Mrs. Thomas's contact info.
Michelle McQueenie is Chief of Staff for FEMA's Gulf Coast Recovery Office.